Hello, welcome back to another Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Before we look at the Great Exchange, which took place as a result of the scourging, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the appearance of the risen Jesus Christ, I'd like to make a couple of issues more clear, if you will. And the first thing I'd like to mention is the importance of the Old Testament. Now, again, the Old Testament is about the covenant of the law. And we always have to keep in mind that as Christians, we live under a new covenant, which is spelled out by the New Testament. Now, that doesn't mean that the Old Testament and the covenant of law are useless. As a matter of fact, it's anything but useless. Remember, the book of Hebrews, though, clearly shows that the new covenant initiated by the two covenant heads, Jehovah God and Jesus, that's God and God, was better or stronger than the old covenant initiated by Jehovah and Moses, that's God and man. The new replaced the old because the new was better or stronger. Keep in mind that the Old Testament is God-breathed and is available for our instruction. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle Paul says, "All Scripture, old and new, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrines." That means truths. It's profitable for doctrines or truths, for reproof, chastisement, for correction or for our improvement, for instruction, direction in righteousness, which is living rightly before God, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's God-directed work. Now, I'd encourage you to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, paying special attention to verses 1 through 11. You see, there's so much that we can learn about righteousness, unrighteousness, the character of God, and what he will bless and what he will not bless in the Old Testament. So let's take a look at the first six, or not the first six, but verses 6 through 11 in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, these things found in the Old Testament, that's what it's talking about, became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and that we do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now here's the key verse 11. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition or warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It's been said in many times and in many ways, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. By studying the Old Testament and the covenant of the law, we learn from biblical history that we need more than rules, regulations, rituals, and traditions to keep us in right relationship with God. We need Jesus. The Old Testament is valuable, but it doesn't contain the covenant purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the point of the blood of Jesus. Just a little historical background. It wasn't until about 1615 that William Harvey, an English physician, first described and correctly detailed the circulatory system and the properties of blood being pumped to the body by the heart. Prior to the discovery of the true nature of blood, there was always a mysterious and spiritual significance to blood among primitive peoples. Ceremonies involving blood or blood rituals were common to almost all primitive tribes. Before scientific understanding, blood had always been associated with the idea of a primary life principle. As a result of this association with life, there's always been a reverence for the shedding of blood. Many primitive groups practiced the cutting and mixing of blood and the creation of scars to show blood brotherhood or blood friendship. It'd be a mistake to associate the importance of blood to primitive people only, because blood is important to God as well. For example, we see the imagery of blood in the following two scriptures, one from the Old Covenant and the other from the New Covenant. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson or blood, they shall be as wool." That's Isaiah 1:18. And then in the other verse, it says, "And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones that came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation 7:14. The importance of blood to covenants is obvious, especially as we examine the covenants between God and man. Look at the following examples where blood is shed in relation to forming a covenant. Number one, blood of animals was shed in the Garden of Eden when God provided clothing for Adam and Eve. After they, remember, they disobeyed God, ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And also for Adam and his wife, and the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Genesis 3:21. So you see, blood had to be shed in order for those skins to be made available. The blood of animals was shed when animals became available for food through Noah. Remember, before Noah, mankind was essentially vegetarian. They did not eat meat. But then with the covenant in Noah, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." That's Genesis 9, verses 3 through 4. The blood of man was shed in the act of circumcision through Abraham. The scriptures say, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you." That's important to understand, that a covenant extends to all of the descendants. "Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between you and me." That's Genesis 17, verses 10 through 11. And then, of course, the blood of animals was shed in the sacrificial system of the law, which came through Moses. And there are many examples that can be found in Leviticus chapter 14 and Numbers chapter 19. And then the greatest shedding of blood is the blood of the Lamb of God. And this is the shedding of blood by a perfect sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And the scripture says, "And the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's John 1:29. Then, "But now in Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 2:13. What makes blood so important? It's because life is in the blood, and blood requires a life. Now we can see how profoundly God regards his covenants. The scriptures say, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." That's Leviticus 17:11. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's in Hebrews 9:22. Now, that's all we have time to talk about today. And next time, we'll be examining the idea of an exchange which takes place in covenants. But again, I want to emphasize the importance of the blood. We see blood being used throughout the Old Testament. And of course, we see the greatest shedding of blood through the life of Jesus Christ himself, who gave his life for you and for me. And so until the next time, may God richly bless you and keep you in his covenant. Thank you. We'll see you the next time.